Welcome to It's All Journalism. I'm Michael O'Connell, and today we have Lisa Scooby and Emily Harris with us. A forum about innovation in journalism beyond the usual suspects. That's how Journalism Accelerator defines itself. The site acts as a forum, bringing together journalists and experts into conversations about breaking news, ethics, and research. Lisa is the founder of Journalism Accelerator. Emily is the editorial director for the site. Thank you both for being here with us.
Thank you for having us.
Before we dive into what the site can do for journalists, Lisa, tell us all about how JA got started.
The JA has been in formation for quite some time, and it really comes from an organizing model of how you can bring a lot of communities of practice together around a shared stake. I've had a very interesting career across nonprofit and for-profit, really working to bring forward shared ideas in a way that is actionable. And with the Journalism Accelerator, the original vision was actually to help re-engage citizens with journalism, but it was right at the moment of pretty much the complete explosion of journalism as all of the legacy outfits were beginning to fail. And it became very clear very quickly that we needed to get oxygen to publishers first so that they could enable their communities to thrive. So I started to vet this idea. I was working at the time with the National Institute on Money and State Politics, as they were trying to bring the data out to communities to try to better empower not just journalists but all kinds of different practitioners to really be able to get into that data. And through that with that client relationship as a consultant, I then met the National Freedom of Information Coalition leader at that time, Charles Davis, who is a professor out at the University of Missouri. And as I did over the course of a year's work, that was really when journalism was beginning to blow up. So I started to look at this opportunity to really try to bring these publishers together in a way where deploying other best practices that had been very effective in other fields around organizing and engaging community might make a whole lot of sense for journalism. That then was planted as a seed at the Reynolds Journalism Institute, where I was a fellow for a year, really vetting this idea. Where I come from, we vet ideas before we build them into products and bring them to market. So the Puget Sound community up in Seattle was wonderful working with me over the course of my fellowship year, really piloting this concept and being able to see that there was very, very valuable opportunity. The other reason that we went to Seattle is that they have probably one of the richest track records of collaboration. So there was already a culture there that had a certain amount of maturity for collaboration. So having the opportunity to test the JA in a really early form worked out quite well. And then from there, launching in earnest in 2011, where we are now based in Portland, Oregon, and we're serving journalism or journalists daily.
And I want to jump in, Michael, and just say it was really interesting to me as a journalist to join an organization that is all about journalism but wasn't founded by a journalist. But Lisa brings this really deep passion for information and democracy, and you know, the idea that when people have information, that empowers them to make decisions that affect their lives. And she comes at it from a different beginning. But that is such a cross point of a value for me as a journalist that it was really interesting to me that you could find someone from a different field that came to the same place right at the point where journalism, you know, as Lisa mentioned, in many legacy ways was failing, but in many new ways was starting to flourish. And it's still uncertain where those flourishes will go. But the fact that there was a place to get ideas from other fields really intrigued me.
And just a couple points of follow-up on that little journey I just shared with you. There are a couple really incredible things that happened throughout this process. One was that I was not the only one thinking about these things, obviously. And the other was that I had the very, very fortuitous chance meeting of Janet Coates, who is the new media initiative manager at the Patterson Foundation, when I had first gone out to RJI for orientation for the fellowship. And Janet just happened to be thinking after about a 25-year career in journalism, working all the way up from reporter to leading a very, very large newsroom and having to lay off about 80 folks, that there was something that was happening in journalism that wasn't just about journalism's demise. as Emily prefaced, there was something actually starting to emerge. So Janet had done probably about 100 interviews when I met her, going out and talking to publishers across the country. And I had a model. That was kind of like the peanut butter and the chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I had the model and the sort of the communications, the branding, the identity, the marketing, the business side, where I was really looking at how do we really start to enrich the field with what we know has worked in other industries, where you see that beyond the usual suspects. How can we infuse the field with the kinds of information that will enable it to succeed more quickly? And Janet and I very, very quickly came around the idea of this project is entirely about what journalism is for, not about debating what it could be, what it might have been, what we might call it, but really looking at what journalism is for, and as we define it, that is looking at content that is created in the public's behalf in context that enables them to act as citizens. And that really gives us an incredible platform to spring from, as Emily was mentioning, and Mike Fancher, how he states it, the executive editor retired now from the Seattle Times, it's as if journalism is reimagining itself. And if it was created 100 years ago, it would look real differently if we were creating it now, just with all of the capacity that we have for exchange of ideas, communicating with communities, and the kind of Web 2.0 that we're living in.
I find a lot of what you're saying is really interesting, a lot of points that you sort of touched on. The one word that jumps out at me is community, how you wanted to engage the community involved and get them involved in what journalism is about, because basically it's serving them as well. Can you talk about sort of that relationship that you hope to establish or to foster with Journalism Accelerator?
Well, I think a big piece of what we've seen over the past several years in the way communication and technology has changed is that people obviously are pursuing the information that they're interested in, right? And that's been a big piece of the shifting media landscape, as much as, not to the financial degree that the advertising shift to online or away from legacy has been, but it's a real shift in people's concept of how they get information. And the secondary part is the real shift in that concept, that understanding of the people who traditionally have created the information and, you know, given it to communities. Now, the mental flip that goes on is going on still in journalism is that people who aren't journalists are rich sources of information, and they are exchanging information not through the filter of the media necessarily. So the real piece to being a useful, important clearinghouse, fact checker, sounding board, mirror, collector of community, which is a role that I think is really vital for media to play, that the disparate connections on Facebook or talking over your neighbor's fence or whatever don't serve in the same way a central shared space of community information does.
Gathering space.
It's like a gathering space, exactly. It's the same way the JA is a gathering space for community sharing and ideas for a certain community. I mean, you know, a newspaper or a television station or a website can be the same thing for a geographical community. We focus a lot of our work on locally developed community websites. That piece is that the relationship between the people who journalism, you know, serves has shifted because it's mm-hmm. more of a partnership now. I mean, the media aspect, the filter, the editing, all that is super, super important, even more important, I would say, now in the complete onslaught of available information. But it is a partnership, and that's really one thing we've tapped into as far as understanding how the JA works and understanding, helping publishers understand this new relationship, not only just, you know, for the sake of itself, but because that is the way it will be sustainable in the future. And I don't mean sustainable just by the number of readers that you get, but sustainable financially. That's a partnership game there. If you're a piece of your community, then you'll be able to be a surviving piece of your community because you'll have value, and then the revenue model is connected to that. So community is really important on a variety of different levels there. And just to add to that a little bit, you know, a big part of what we do at the JA is we are here as neutral arbiters. We do not have the answers, but I tell you what, that over 400 folks that are on network within the Journalism Accelerator, they sure have a whole lot of ideas about what that looks like, as well as, you know, thousands of others that we haven't been able to bring into the community yet. But the idea is, you know, going into the beauty of crowdsourcing, right now there is so much intellectual capital that lives inside of people's super smart heads. And it's not documented anywhere. This isn't like a technology product where you get your how-to and you get your documentation and you have your data sets. One of the things, Michael, that I think you were curious about today, you know, in terms of the JA and, you know, why we're here, this whole idea of being able to get up inside of something from the perspective of the people in the field that are fighting the fight day in and day out, the ones you hear from least don't have time to be on social because they're reporting to their communities. But the intellectual capital that they have in their heads is so rich, and it is so important, and it isn't documented anywhere. So we really start with looking and hearing and listening actively with the community to hear what are they collectively struggling around. So as you see questions that come up on the site, it's not because we think they're intriguing. It's because the community is grappling collectively with those specific questions. We also start off, like any good product, what's the benefit to the community? What's the shelf life? How does this scale? Is there other information that plugs into this? So it's a very, very interesting model on multiple levels, and it's one that can be so very, very powerful with the more intellectual capital that you get up inside of it. But a part of our value is that we're not here and to illuminate a path and say, this is the path. We are here to say there are a lot of different models that are working. There is no silver bullet. And we see part of our opportunity to do a distillation and then to look at that in terms of good business practice and, you know, what is going to be sustainable in a way that is neutral, where we really don't have a dog in the fight. We're here to see journalism thrive. So it's a very low-ego operation where we're really here in service of what is emerging, but to actually out it so that others can bear witness to it, learn from it, grow it, share it, and challenge it.
I feel kind of that we're sort of talking around what the JAA is. Could you just give me a real quick sales pitch? How does it work? What does it do? How do you get journalists involved?
It's a website, obviously, first and foremost. But, you know, like many websites, it spends much more than that, which is a community of people who are thinking and grappling with issues around journalism. On the site, there's three main components to it. One is a collection of resources, which are curated through the lens of how will this be practically useful to somebody who is a journalist or publishing today. And those run the gamut from, you know, a report that'll give you a sense of the field, you know, keeping up on sort of what's going on, raising issues that might affect your own work, to a tool that might help you manage your social outreach better, to a business plan model, but all with the aim of, you know, getting you smarter, helping you work better. Because we do look at journalism, particularly these new community sites, as businesses, and that's been one of the big challenges for people to come to terms with as they're starting them. A second major piece of the site is the questions area, and that's undergone some shifts, like all startups, as we have gotten a better sense of what works in the community. But that's a place where we hold online discussions focused on a specific issue that people are grappling with that are often have to do with very, very practical, specific things. Like if you look at the stuff we did in partnership with Kent State, mm-hmm. earlier this fall around ethics, some of those conversations were really, really specific, right? How do you deal with a politician who is, you know, not telling you the truth? Or to the higher level kind of thinking, which also is our issues that people are grappling with in the field. Like, how can you look at the some of the ethical questions that are being raised in political coverage, mm-hmm. and look at those and then use what you're seeing to consistently deliver the political coverage that citizens deserve. So sort of looking like very low-level, practical on the ground, and also very meta. So that's really the heart of the site, those mm-hmm. discussions and questions and bringing people together and sharing ideas and introducing people who didn't know other people existed before, who have the shared views. And then the third, or who play off each other and bring energy to each other and share ideas and push each other forward. And then the blog is our third major point, place where we report what we've learned through the conversations that we have, through our experiences in the field. We do profiles of publishers and things like that. We introduce ideas. For example, we did a few this summer that were talking to people who are not in journalism to try to suss out from them
what journalists might learn from their particular fields of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
We've just started our project section, which pulls together some of the resources from across site into certain themed areas. So that's a separate section on the website, but it basically pulls from different things across the site to give it a particular lens, showcase different things. It's a resource center. It is a think tank in a way, and it's a community discussion forum focused on actionable.
Do you have one customer in mind in this, or is this sort of, you know, people who are starting local websites, journalists who are struggling with getting their website or their news outlet working? Is that who you're trying to get dialogue between, or is it one particular audience?
You know, to give you a sense of how literally the Journalism Accelerator came to exist, and I'm going to go into audience, I was standing in front of a whiteboard with the technologist who had initially really helped create the initial infrastructure for the project, and we were talking about a larger program called News Story Network, and we looked at Journalism Accelerator as being a way of bringing community together in like a town hall. But mm-hmm. the way that we got there was really just looking at my colleague Jeff and saying, questions exist right now that didn't exist 5 minutes ago. Where do people go to find that out from a collection of expertise of their peers where they can get things answered very quickly based on direct experience? Where does that exist?
Okay.
And there wasn't anything like that. And at a point where thousands of journalists are losing their jobs, it mm-hmm. made no sense whatsoever that there wasn't some sort of really, really thoughtful resource that was sort of a collection of some of the brightest minds out there trying to figure this stuff out. So that was sort of the beginning of what was specifically the Journalism Accelerator as a module for information exchange and learning. And as a follow-up to that, for this year in 2012, we've really been looking at sustainability as the number one issue. We gathered a bunch of folks together from legacy outfits, David Boardman at the Seattle Times, to the smaller emerging regional investigative news sites, Vermont Diggers, and Galloway, to the Michelle McClellans, who has been so much a leader with the Block by Block community, Kevin Davis, the very fearless CEO of the INN, the Investigative News Network, and others. And we asked these folks collectively across their respective areas, what is the most critical issue right now that if we don't deal with it this year, we're not going to be here next year? And each and every one of them, in their own way, talked about sustainability, which is where we've focused the lens currently. We have over 300 resources on the site. We have nearing probably about 100 blog posts, and we're looking for a new way of calling blog, because it is so much more than that. It's a distillation, one of the few places, probably on the web, that you can really see from practitioners what the hell is going on up inside of journalism. We have probably 1,600 comments on the site. We've been, you know, in operation a little more than a year. We very intentionally go out and outreach in a very targeted way. We host what are called qualified conversations around here, meaning that we look for people with very specific expertise to contribute to the conversation, and we go out and we bring them in to participate in that conversation because we know what kinds of things are actually producing to enable other communities to be able to do, who are doing things like that, to be able to learn from those individuals, and ideally in time to be able to come back and ask those individuals things that would be useful to them. These forums remain open because we have a best-of-breed type authentication protocol in place, where it's very important that people actually know who they're talking to. A few folks have been offended by that, but to us, we think it's critical for high-integrity conversation for people to feel like they know who they're communicating with.
Mm-hmm.
So we've grown our community on Twitter up to, I don't know, close to 3,000 now. Our Facebook presence is also very active. So in terms of our audience and why I speak to that before I go to audience, we're really looking at where are these folks. As I mentioned earlier, most of the people, many of the people who are truly, truly most in need of knowing what's going on don't have time to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're trying to do is actually present information to communities at risk, as I would look at them, with some of these journalism communities that just are barely making it. The kind of intellectual capital that we have out there in the field of journalism is it's priceless.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're trying to do in terms of our first primary audience is really, really looking at those communities that we see being most at risk, which we see as being the small independent publisher movement that's largely coming out of all the folks that got, you know, laid off out of their awesome newspaper jobs or other journalism
mm-hmm.
roles that there's no longer money for. So what we see now are journalists who are trying to be business people. Seems kind of unfair. You know, do you have to
right.
do heart surgery and events and, you know, cleaning toilets? And, you know, it's like, what aren't these guys doing?
So how can we help shorten the distance for them to out information that's going to be critically important to them to be able to succeed in business as journalists?
Mm-hmm.
To us right now, we see that as being mission critical. And I just can't emphasize how critical we see that, because without it, how are these folks going to send their kids to college? How are they going to pay their mortgage? These are incredibly highly skilled professionals, and they are doing something that is so extraordinarily valuable. How do we start to emerge more quickly a model that will enable them to make a living doing what they are so very good at when they have had no prior experience in business? Independent publishers, investigative news regional networks, even some of the larger legacy operations, they're struggling as well. How do they help keep their staff and do better and better journalism in this new field of new media, digital frontier? So we look at the communities at risk as being most critical. We're interested in radio. We're interested in new media. We're interested in new journalists that might not have a journalism background, but we know that there's a lot of journalists they could probably learn quite a bit from. For that matter, the journalists could probably learn a bunch of stuff from those new media folks, because they know how to do all the whirly, the twists and the flips
mm-hmm.
with all the really cool stuff that's coming out with apps and how you use those apps. There are people within this community that really want to talk to others who are innovating across the spectrum, broadcast, radio, print. And outside of that, some of these, you know, social change outfits that are using news and information as an opportunity to better engage communities. So, you know, first and foremost are the communities at risk, and that's the local investigative community news publishers. We are trying to get them oxygen first. We think they are critical. And then, of course, we're also trying to help inform funders who are trying to make really smart investments to move the needle. Part of the model that we have is information exchange, and we see that as being fundamentally useful to funders as well. The fact that we're able to source information directly from the communities that are most at risk, not telling funders perhaps what they want to hear, but for them talking to us, telling us the hard reality that they're living in and some of the specific areas that they need help most, so that we can collectively source what might be the wisest place for investment, where there might be the greatest. On the audience front, the Academy is also a secondary but really critical audience. How can we help the Academy better educate these kids that are coming into journalism in a field that doesn't look anything like your father's journalism operation? So how do we get more market and business intelligence into journalism schools? The 300-plus resources, and they accrue weekly. We continue to update all of these resources, and it's a cross-network operation. So, again, we're not siloed. We're actually doing the antithesis of that. We are pulling things from across silos so folks can come to a throughway to find things that are happening. So we see the Academy as also being a really essential part of that. So there's a number of different areas or ways that we tier the audience. But we start with what is most mission critical to see journalism thrive.
I don't think a journalist who is not thinking about sustainability, at least looking 5-10 years down the road, that at least if it's not on their mind, then it really should be, because this is really, we're kind of at the point where we really need to decide where our career is going, where our industry is going. And, you know, as you said, there are a lot of smart people out there, and we can figure this out. So to those people who are out there in the hinterland, is there hope? Is there sustainability?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. It's just, it's not easy. And it's not totally clear how it's going to work. We're in the middle of a project right now that was in support of business training for almost 36 community journalists. And, you know, we've put a headline on our site. This is a page that hasn't gone live yet, but it's called Engaged in a Huge Experiment. And that was a quote from the lead trainer at the project, playing off of the assessment of the reality on the ground made by one of the publishers, who said, if we learn this business stuff, are we going to be okay? If we write this plan, if we understand income and expenses,
if we do everything you tell us to,
essentially, are we going to be okay? Can we go back and do the journalism and inform communities and let people know what's going on and make information available that's vital to their lives? And the answer was, hopefully.
Because that's the problem you're dealing with journalists. Nobody ever gives you an absolute yes. It's like, well, you know, I need to be honest with you. Maybe.
Exactly. But there's an awful lot, like Lisa says, there's an awful lot of intellectual capital that is being learned the hard way in small corners and in big newsrooms, shrinking but still big newsrooms around the country. And the trick is to get that out of people's brains and into other people's brains so that we can shortcut the shared information. I mean, we can't sit around and wait for 25 years for a new model of sustainable journalism to emerge. That's the point. And so how do we get people, what they're learning, out there, shared, speed it up, figure out what's not working, push the envelope for the people who are ready to push the envelope, take things further, try things harder, lay the path for people who haven't even figured out how to use Twitter yet. So that when they do, there's a clearer path for what works and what doesn't for more deep engagement. You know, if you're talking about in the realm of social.
Yeah.
I got to add just a quick thing to this because it was such a rich quote that Emily was just prefacing, but I wanted to give you the specific response from Rusty because it was really awesome in its entirety. So one of the questions, I had written it down, the question from one of the people in the room was, the assumption is by those organizing the event, if you do these things, then this will happen. But we're engaged in a huge experiment that the charitable world and the world of commerce will embrace us if we do these things. Do you really believe this? And Rusty responded to it, that it is the foundation of what, where investigative, local, regional, nonprofit, for-profit partnerships, that this work begins to inform the model that is emerging. It's evolving and going somewhere very interesting. Folks are floating new ideas, and we're listening closely so we can know better what's working, learning and improving how we think about this and how we build the business to be what's possible in a sustainable way, which I thought was just an awesome way to kick off this overall event. Sustainability it's a practice. Really, it's interesting. This started with this particular CJET event with What's Your Exit Strategy, which is one of Rusty's primary ways of looking at it. In other words, if you don't know where you are, how can you know where you're going? It is a standard model in business and VC models. And it's so deeply offensive to journalists to even begin to think about that. They're 2 to 3 years in and they're trying furiously to figure it out. And so as we got up underneath that, Emily did about 28 interviews of the 30-plus publishers that were there. Many of them really were struggling with that. And as we went back to ask Rusty, he said, well, replace exit strategy with legacy and see how that works. But it's this idea, if we want to do this, we got to figure out how to make it work. It's absolutely doable, but it does require some types of disciplines that don't come naturally to journalists. And how can we do it more quickly? Oh, and the other thing I was going to say about the system for the JA, ultimately, if we really can throttle this, it's like a rapid response system. So it really becomes a mechanism so that, you know, from good information policy, making sure that information and access to information is going on, is getting out to publishers, is getting out to their communities, is getting out to the technologists, is getting out to the academy. So you suddenly start to create a mechanism where a lot of different folks that are really engaged in what's emerging in journalism can find each other, source each other, talk to each other in a way that enables them to get there a whole hell of a lot quicker than what it might look like without a mechanism of that nature.
At the end of the day, how will you measure the Journalism Accelerator's success?
If journalism is thriving, that's my short answer. There's a lot of people that are working on that. Mm-hmm. But we're one of the few, if only really true, like, capacity organizations that are reporting on the journalism of journalism. So to be able to accelerate the ability for these publishers, which we're tracking and working with very closely and trying to support, are we seeing them maybe get there a little quicker? Are we seeing them start to think about things in new ways? Are we seeing them really starting to come to the site in a way where they're resourcing the site to enable their work? We currently have a clout rating of 55. We're not even trying. But we go into communities and we look at who are really influential within communities that have big communities that really can do, you know, a great deal of good with the information that they might be able to bring away, to learn, to see, to share. We're extremely strategic about how we're looking at this. So from maybe a very, very targeted, smaller community, but they might have their community of millions,
or it might be, a larger group or a network. But what we look at is success. A, is journalism thriving, and are we able to enable that in a more efficient, less duplicative, less chaotic fashion? Just being able to give journalists a place where they can go through the fog of war and see a clear beam of light that has substantive, verifiable data, that there are, proven elements here that they can be plugging into their business models that are going to help them achieve success financially. They're going to be able to have a clearer line of sight and less muddlement about what's working and what's not. That they don't try and experiment in Delaware because it failed miserably. Or if they do, they're not going to do the couple of things that took it down. They're going to try it and do it in a different way. To create a methodology where we now have documentation about what's actually happening in this moment of complete disruption in a field that is so critical to democracy. We are like a measurement machine. We measure so much. We have been measuring and looking at Twitter from the day that we really started to throttle that program. The spreadsheets that we have, the information that we have, the kind of tracking that we do, we take customer relationship management, I would refer to it as community relationship management, extremely seriously. We use HiRISE. We use all kinds of Google Analytics tools. I've got a dozen tools on Twitter that we monitor. We tried Radian 6, but we weren't getting deep enough into what we needed to see because we don't want to look at a big brand. We want to see what's emerging underneath it. So we're both kind of reinventing the wheel. We're taking the pieces of the wheel that we can use. We've got some duct tape and some spit. But measurement is everything. It's absolutely everything. It is critical to what we do. Like if you asked us, a pretty specific question about what, success where, Michael, which part of the success would you like us to speak to? Because for us, it's not about us being successful. It's about the community being successful. So if we can enable their success, then we're being successful. And if we're not, then we should get out of the way and let somebody else come in and try to really, truly build capacity for these journalists. Because for the love of God, they have absolutely earned it. The fact that they don't have more of this, to me, is shocking, to actually create mechanisms that enable them to thrive, to learn, to be able to find each other. How is it that we don't have 5 journalism accelerators right now looking at a particular module like the 8 that we have on our site? If we saw that, we would know that we were doing something right, because we think that journalism thriving in our country and globally is just, it's critical. If we want democracy, we need journalism.
And I think that's an excellent place for us to sort of draw this to an end. I've been speaking with Lisa Scooby and Emily Harris of the Journalism Accelerator. Thanks for joining me. This is a really interesting conversation, and I do, if you're willing, I'd like to get back to you and maybe we continue this at some other time.
Totally. Let's do another installment and see how that's all going. Absolutely love it.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing face of the media. You can find out more about this podcast at itsalljournalism.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at @alljournalism. This podcast was designed to be a two-way discussion about the future of journalism. We'd like to hear what you have to say. It's All Journalism welcomes suggestions from listeners about possible topics or interview subjects for upcoming podcasts. Email your suggestions to editor@itsalljournalism.com.